to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Proverbs, the 31st chapter, I'll begin reading at verse number 10 and down through the end of that chapter, verse number 31. As you're finding your place, let me encourage you to be back in the services tonight. You'll want to hear the choir and the special music. You'll want to hear Dr. Shoemaker's message about God meeting your needs. Dr. Shoemaker is not only a great writer, has a lot of business acumen, a lot of administrative ability, but he's a marvelous preacher. And I want you to hear his message tonight that I believe will be a blessing. What a delight it is to have him as a part of our great ministry at Worth Baptist Church. Now that you've found your place, turn with me, if you haven't found it, to Proverbs 31, and stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. Proverbs chapter 31, I begin at verse number 10 after we pray. Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth up also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Thank you, and you may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, we reckon with the fact that all over our nation today, mothers will be honored, messages will be preached about homes and families, about mothers and grandmothers. There are uncounted thousands of houses dotting the horizons and hillsides of America. The American dream is to own a house. Houses of brick and mortar, houses of boards and stones, houses of iron and clay, some expensive and elaborate, some inexpensive and moderate, many somewhere between. There are enemies at work to destroy houses, termites, thyme, tornadoes. Remember the recent storms? Many homes, many houses were totally destroyed. Many other houses were partially damaged. But in stark contrast, ladies and gentlemen, to these houses that dot the horizon, is the institution called the home. It takes more than a house to make a home. Anybody can build a house, but only God can provide the materials for a home. And as I see it, and I think you will agree, one of the major differences between a house and a home is a godly mother. The basic unit of our society is the home. Long before there was a church, there was a home. Long before there was a government, there was a home. Long before there was an industry, an enterprise, a business, a school, there was a family, and there was a home. And God Himself brought the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve, together in the garden and joined them for a lifetime and said, and Jesus picked up on this, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they too shall be one flesh." Mothers, we salute you today, because your agency was the first agency that God established on this earth. There are three divinely ordained, organized agencies in our world. Only three: the home, the government, and the church. And ladies and gentlemen, these three must work together. Sadly enough, the government has become so humanistic in its philosophy, together with education for the most part, so humanistic that most of the weight has been thrown upon the home and the church. And as goes the home, so goes the church. And as goes the church, so goes the nation. The old Chinese proverb has it, if there is beauty in the character, there'll be harmony in the home. If there's harmony in the home, there'll be order in the nation. If there's order in the nation, there'll be peace in the world. The home is the place. And I must tell you that God put them in that order: first the home, then the government, and then the church. It's interesting to me that the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ was closely associated with homes and families. In fact, when the wise men came to bring him gifts of royalty, they came into a home to give those gifts. The first miracle that our Lord Jesus performed was in a home, in the wedding in Cana of Galilee, where he turned the water to wine and where he put his own divine approval upon the marriage altar and upon the family and upon the home. He ate supper in the home of Simon the leper. He raised a young maiden from the dead in a home. He went home with a publican named Zacchaeus. Never again was that man the same. And by the way, when Jesus goes home with you, your home will never be the same. Several of the last nights of our Lord's life were spent in the home of Martha, Mary, and their brother Lazarus. As their enemies out to destroy the houses in which we live, there are enemies that are far more deceptive, far more treacherous, far more formidable, far more destructive, that are out to destroy the home in America today. There's an enemy from below, Satan, and he takes every weapon in his arsenal to attack. And by the way, the number one target of Satan is not the church, it's not the school, it's not the government, it's not the bank, it's not the department store, it's the home. This is his number one target, because if the devil can destroy the home, he weakens the entire structure and fabric of industry, of government, of education, of religion. He weakens all of it as he weakens the home. Preserve the home at any cost. There are enemies from without, evil influences. Let me name two or three of them. Rock music, that's an enemy of the home. Now, I know some of you saying, "But Pastor, I don't see anything wrong with rock music." Well, wake up. You've been asleep long enough. It is poisoning the minds of young people, children, and adults. And the reason you don't see anything wrong with it for your children is because you're hooked on it yourself. And if you don't get off hook, your children are not going to get off hook. It's rotten, it's poison, it's damnable, it's destructive, it's a death blow to your family and to your home. The sexual revolution. Child pornography. We saw on the television the other day, children 4, 5, and 6 years old who were the aggressors in sex against others. Drugs, alcohol, all of it. These are enemies that are out to destroy the family, the home. I must hurry on. There's some enemies within. Jealousy. That'll destroy a home. Bitterness. Selfishness. Many families in America, and all of them are not up in Oklahoma or Arkansas or over in Georgia. Many families in America are sowing the seeds of their own destruction. I hasten to tell you that it is God who makes mothers and families and homes. Psalm 113 in verse 9 says, "He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord." My message is entitled, Mothers, Families, Homes. And remember, the thing that makes the difference between a house and a home is mother. Let me share with you quickly an example of a godly mother, the mother of Moses. And I don't have to rehearse all the details of that story found in the book of Exodus. Where when Pharaoh's daughter went out to take her daily bath, there was a little ark in the bulrushes, and the sound of the voice of a baby crying came out of that little bulrush and out of that little ark. And lo and behold, when she fetched it, it was a beautiful child. And it was a Hebrew child. And the mother of Moses had placed the little boy in the ark out there to escape the wrath of the king Pharaoh, who had issued a decree that all the male children be put to death at birth. But God had a purpose. And by the way, mother, God's got a purpose in your son, in your daughter. Some of you have lost children. I've carried you to yonder cemetery and wept with you. But God is still good. And God will bring another. Cheer up, my mothers. Cheer up, you fathers. God will bless your home. Be faithful. And he has a purpose in it all. And you know the story how that Moses' mother was hired to raise her own child. The little sister stood by. And when the daughter of Pharaoh said, "I wonder if I can find a Hebrew woman who'll take care of this little boy." She didn't know the mores and the culture of the Hebrews. So Moses' own mother was paid wages to teach him and to train him in the truth of God. And listen to this. And mothers, don't miss this. Moses' mother put a protective shield of holy living around him before she ever put him in the house of Pharaoh. And it paid off. If you don't believe it paid off, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I'll tell you that early training, proper training, godly training, Christian training, Sunday school, Awana, preaching services. And I know somebody say, "Well, the children, they get so tired." Well, they get tired at school too, but you don't take them out of school, do you? They don't want to wash their dirty feet, but you don't let them go to bed with dirty feet, do you? I said, "Oh, I don't make my children do anything." Yes, you do. You made them eat. You made them take a bath. You made them brush their teeth. Go ahead and see to it that they're in church. Give them godly training. Listen to the result from Hebrews chapter number 11, beginning at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not. Did you get that? They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, now this is when it paid off, godly training, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Though he was raised by her, he was brought up in the University of Egypt, he was brought up in the courts of Pharaoh. When he got old enough to make his own choice, he refused to be identified with Pharaoh and the Egyptians and the daughter of Pharaoh, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So by faith, verse 27 says, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know where Moses got it? He didn't get it in the high school in Pharaoh's court. He didn't get it in Egypt's university. He got it at mother's knee. A godly mother who said, son, this is the way. This is what the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob wants with your life. And mothers, you need to sit down with your children and say, look, this is what God wants in your life. You may want this and you may want that, but this is what God has for your life. And it'll pay off in the end. The example of a godly mother. Then I have some recommendations to mothers on how to protect your children from the wiles of Satan. And by the way, that word wiles over in Ephesians chapter 6, that word means a magic spell. And did you know the devil wants to put your children under a magic spell today? That's what rock music does to them. Puts them under a magic spell. I'm giving you some recommendations on how to protect your children from the wiles of Satan. Number one, dedicate them to the Lord when they're young. Don't wait till they're 15. It's over. It's closed case. It's gone. Do it when they're young. Be like the mother of Samuel. I don't have time to turn there, but 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, and here's how it reads basically. The mother of Samuel, Hannah, said, God gave me this son. Remember, she was barren, and she prayed for a long time that God would give her a son. And she said, God gave me this son, and I'm going to lend him to the Lord all the days of his life. Now, mothers, you can't go wrong. You lend them to society. You lend them to the government. You lend them to education. You lend them to a career. Why don't you lend them to God all the days of their lives? Start it out when they're young. The second thing, portray a godly example before them. Did you know the Bible says, this is not just an old wives' tale or an old saying. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 44 says, like the mother, so will the daughter be. Let me read it to you. Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Now, I want to tell you something, mother. A dancing foot and a praying knee don't grow on the same leg. Don't expect your children, your daughter, to turn out to be virtuous and holy and clean if you're showing your body to an open world. It just won't happen. Be certain, number three, if you're numbering these, be certain you give your children godly advice. A king over in 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 3 was given wicked advice. Listen to this. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Can you imagine a mother advising her son to do what's wrong? There's a notable case in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 14, and I don't have time to read it, but let me tell you the story. John the Baptist is out preaching, and boy, was he a preacher. He wasn't known for his pew-side manners. Hello, not Dr. John. He just said, this is the way it is. And he said to Herod, it's wrong for you to live with your brother's wife. And if it was wrong then, it's wrong now. And because of it, Herod said, okay, I'll fix that young preacher up. I'll take his head. I'll destroy him. So one day, the woman with whom he was living had a daughter, and she was a beautiful young lady, and she was out dancing on Herod's birthday, and she pleased him so much, he said to her in a weak moment, I'll give you up to half of my kingdom. Whatever you want, if you'll just keep on dancing, it pleases me so much. And she said, wait just a minute. I've got to go talk to Mama. She goes over and she says, Mama? Excuse me. She says, excuse me, Phil. She says, Mama, stand up. She says, Mama, what should I ask the king for? John's head, that's what she said. She said it, I didn't. She knows the Bible. Listen, the mother said, get John the Baptist's head. I don't want to hear that preaching anymore. So she went out and finished up her little dance. And she called for, and the king called for the head of John the Baptist and cut it off. Don't worry too much about it. It was only a shortcut to glory, if you'll pardon the pun. And she got John's head on a charger. What's a woman going to do with the head of a Baptist preacher? But she demanded the head at the wicked advice of a wicked mother. Mothers, don't advise your children wrongly. Tell them what's right and see to it that they do it. She, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me John Baptist's head in a charger. And they did. Just because a wicked mother gave wicked advice to a wicked daughter. Number four. Now some of you are not going to like this. Dress your children in modest apparel. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to take time to read these. I didn't have time to read those other verses. I'm going to read these. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness, adorn yourself in the right manner with modest apparel. Oh, and by the way, if you can't buy them at the store, learn how to make them. 1 Samuel 2:19, I'm going to read this one too. 1 Samuel 2:19 says, moreover, his mother made him a little coat. You can make it. Make them the clothes that they need to wear. And brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Number five, leave your children a Christian heritage. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, when Paul said to young Timothy, I recall to remembrance the unfeigned faith that was in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. I want to tell you something this morning. You're looking at a pastor who's here because of a godly mother. I'm here today in answer of my mother's prayers. My biological mother went to be with the Lord when she was 29 years old, left six little children, and I was the youngest. I was under 2 years of age. How well do I remember when they lifted me up to see her form in the casket. That's the only memory I have of my mother. I saw her in the casket. But as the years went by, and I would call my daddy to the bed at night and say, Daddy, there's something wrong. Something is happening down here. There's something going on in my heart and in my life, Daddy. Help me with it. I don't know what it is. And Daddy said, Son, your mother's prayer on her deathbed was that God would call her boys to be preachers. That's why I'm here this morning. That's why I'm here, because a mother's prayers have followed me from the time I was born until I'm 63 years of age. A mother's prayers have followed me every step of the way. As the songwriter said, I can never forget the day I heard my mother kindly say, you're leaving now, my tender care. Remember, child, your mother's prayer. I never can forget the voice that always made my heart rejoice. Though I've wandered God knows where, still I remember my mother's prayer. I never can forget the hour I felt the Savior's cleansing power. My sins and guilt he canceled there. 'Twas there he answered my mother's prayer. That's why we're here today. I ask you, mothers, set a godly example. Turn back to my text with me, and I want to point out some things, and I'll do it quickly, and I know it's a little past 12. I understand that, but please bear with me for just a moment. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 31, and I'm going to show you the example of a godly mother, a role model for you. Look at verses 11 and 12. I see in those verses that she was trustworthy and faithful to her husband. Isn't that what verses 11 and 12 say? I see in verse 13 that she was industrious and was a hard worker. I see in verse 14 she had an eye for business. I see in verse 15 she was sensitive to the needs of her family. I see in verse 16, she was a wise investor. I see in verse 17 that she took care of her health, her physical being. I see in verse 18, she was a good manager of the home. I see in verse 19, she was a good seamstress. I see in verse 20, she unselfishly gave to the poor and needy. I see in verse 21, she protected her family from the elements. When the snow was flying, she wasn't concerned because she'd made them all coats to wear. I see in verse 22, she took pride in her appearance. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She took pride in the way she looked. I see in verse 23, she supported her husband on his job. He sat at the gate with the elders of the city. She didn't say to him, why don't you get another job? Why don't you bring home more money? No, she supported her husband in his job. I see in verse 24, she provides extra income for the family. God bless these mothers that are out providing some extra income to make it a little bit easier on the daddy and to help the children. Cleaning houses and washing clothes and doing whatever they can to provide some extra income. That's a wise woman. Verse number 25. She feels secure about the future because of her emotional stability. She's not afraid. She looks forward. She rejoices in the future in time to come, verse 25 says. Verse 26, she speaks wisely and in a quiet tone. What is more irritating than a woman screaming? Quit screaming at your children. Quit telling them how stupid they are. They may begin to believe it and turn out as stupid as you are. Speak with wisdom and in a quiet tone. Verse 27, she was a good housekeeper. Got kind of quiet then, didn't it? She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Can you imagine a mother with three or four or five children or two children, or even one, or no children, a housewife saying, I'm bored to death. Sweep out from under the bed. Wash your dishes. Clean up your dirty dish rag. Get the house cleaned up. You won't have time for idleness. That's what it says. A good housekeeper who occupies her time with worthwhile projects and is never bored because of idle time. What an example, what a role model for mothers today. Well, I know you're saying these are different days, Pastor. Well, I understand that. But we still observe Christmas on the 25th of December, Mother's Day on the second Sunday of May, and Thanksgiving the fourth Thursday of November, and New Year's Day on January the 1st. It hadn't changed much. Hello. Now let me give you the results. Look at verse 28. She's respected by her children and by her husband. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. But look at verse number 30. It says, the Lord will praise her too. And it says in verse 31, her own works will testify to her ambition and her industry and her godliness. Now, there are three homes that every person ought to have. An earthly home, and by the way, you got to work for it. Don't wait for somebody to give it to you. That's what's wrong in America today. Too many hands out. Go to work. Get a home. Buy it. Start out with a small one. Graduate. You can't get the big one at the first. Start out with whatever you can. Work for it. That's how you get a home. You'll work for it. A house. A home. Mother makes the difference. Then the second, every person ought to have a church home. And you have liberty and freedom to choose it. You don't have to join Worth Baptist Church. I think you make a mistake if you don't, but you don't have to do it. It's your choice. Choose you a church home. And then there's the heavenly home. And that comes only through the right relationship with God, through Jesus Christ and the new birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now, you cannot get into heaven on your own good works. You can't get to heaven on your good looks. You can't get to heaven on your education, on your righteousness, on your morality, on your wisdom. You get to heaven through Jesus Christ and through the new birth. God can make the difference in mother, and mother can make the difference between a house and a home. Now, you men, you're grown and your mother's aging now. Be kind to her. Be good to her. We went by Mrs. Bentley's the other day after the storm, and her son was there putting on the roof and patching up, and he said, I'm going to take care of my mother. That's the way it ought to be. Men, take care of your mother. You won't always have her. When she's gone, it'll be too late. You ought to go today. You ought to go in this service and put your arms around your mother if she's here and say, Mother, I love you. You could even do that to your mother-in-law. In some cases. I grant you, not everybody could do that. But in most cases, you could. And by the way, it's probably much your fault as it is hers if you don't get along. There may be some rare exceptions. But I'm saying to you, mothers, be a good example. And children, sons and daughters, I don't care if you're 40 years old, 50 years old, whatever. If your mother's still alive, honor thy mother all the days of thy life. Let's stand, please. I call you today, mothers with every head bowed. Mothers, listen. You're here this morning. God's speaking to your heart about your life and things that are happening in your home and in your life. Maybe you haven't been the real mother role model that you should have been. But you'd come today and say to the Lord, Dear Lord, help me to be the mother I ought to be. Maybe you want to bring your children. Maybe you want to reach out and get the husband's hand, the father's hand. Say, come on, daddy. Come on, husband. Come on, children. Let's go and rededicate our lives to the Lord this morning. Wouldn't you like to do that, mother? and just say to God, I want to be the mother you want me to be to my children. I want to be the grandmother you want me to be to my grandchildren. I want to be everything you want me to be. I want you to step out of your seat and come and let God help you to be the example, the Christian example, the godly example that you ought to be to your children before it's too late. If you're unsaved, I bid you to come and trust the Savior. Mother, father, brother, sister, young or old, whatever, if you want to join the fellowship, come on today. Whatever your need is, I appeal to mothers. This is your day. Bring your family to an altar prayer this morning, mother. You'll feel better about it, and so will they. Father, speak to our hearts today. Help us, dear God, to be everything you want us to be. The mothers have an opportunity, dear Lord, today to come with their children. And if the husband and father is here, to come with him and spend a moment on their knees before you. It's more important than the cafeteria. It's more important than Mother's Day dinner. Nothing is more important than this. May they do it today. May families come. May singles come. May children come. In Jesus' name I pray.